Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and on this week's program, the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce, will be talking with the only Republican on the Albuquerque Public School Board, Peggy Aragon. I will be talking with our congresswoman from the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Yvette Harrell, about the vice president's visit to El Paso, Texas on border issues. And we'll start the program this week with part of an interview that Steve Pierce did with Frank Niemeyer on Carlsbad Radio. Let's listen in.
Welcome to Carlsbad Radio. I'm Frank Niemeyer. It's a treat to have the chair of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, back on the radio this morning. Mr. Pierce, it's always a treat to hear from you. I appreciate you making some time for us. Sounds like you're really busy.
We are, and it's always great talking to you, Frank.
I want to start with this Operation Freedom that you are working on. Can you give us an update on what this initiative of the Republican Party is and why you think we need it?
Sure. Operation Freedom was, first of all, saying that, okay, we're not allowed to gather here in New Mexico, so we'll just go to Amarillo and we'll go to Texas where there's more freedom. We had about 350 to 370 of the party activists really go to Amarillo, and it was a huge event. We had probably some of the best speakers in the country, Kristi Noem on Friday night, Jim Jordan on Saturday. But we had 31 of us, Republicans, and our message was that the Republicans are not going to win the state through a 30-second ad campaign. We've got to show people who we are, not tell people who we are. So we had 31 different Republicans speaking, all local folks working on their area of passion. Maybe it's education, private education. Maybe it's being on the school board. It might be in the faith community or the pro-life community, maybe for Second Amendment rights. So we had all these speakers here, and folks came away with an understanding that if we're going to be successful, we're going to have to turn our anger into action. Now we're saying, okay, it was a good program, but let's roll this party out county by county. Let's get this Operation Freedom, Positive Change for New Mexico going in every county. And there are so many ways that people can make change, but you got to step up to the plate. So we're highlighting these about 2-minute videos we're sending around on email right now, showing people who we are, what changes we're making, and asking the simple question, what change can you make in your community, in your area of passion today? Your kids' education. They don't like the way the schools are being run, don't like critical race theory being taught in their schools, then run for school board. Don't just sit out here and complain. Turn your anger into action. We feel like that we have to reach into the community that sometimes doesn't even listen to Republicans. Here in the southeast part of the state, we're pretty fortunate. People just take it, if you're Democrat, fine. If you're Republican, fine. We're all working for a better country, a better life. But in some parts of the state, they tell me when I would go there as a congressman, we've never heard a Republican before. So we would have these town halls, and I probably did 1,000 town halls during my 14 years in Congress. It was so they could hear and see my values. Then they would see the service of our staff and realize that, hey, these guys are serious. They know my problem, and they're working on it. And so it's basically that, that it's the foundation for this ambassador. We've got to go into communities where they don't typically like or even listen to Republicans and let them see our actions. We're the hands and feet of the change that we want to see.
You are famous for being able to recruit candidates on the Republican ticket in places where we historically just don't see that. So is this an extension of that? Is this another aspect of that? Tell me how that's related.
It is. Yes, it's an evolution of that. Typically, I see people, and when you're in the political realm, then you start understanding it requires a certain amount of ability to speak, a certain amount of confidence in your own value system. You got to have your rudder pretty deeply in the water so you don't get blown around by the winds of change and you're able to keep a steady course. Now, it gets to where you can see that, and so I frequently just catch people and tell them, some are Democrats, I'm saying, hey, you need to make your party a different party. It's gone way left. And I said, if you want to be a Republican, you got to be tough. But if you want to stay where you are, then get out and run. I said, your values are the values that the country needs and the Democrat Party needs. And so I've talked to people of both parties about running, and we're still doing that. We just feel like that if we as conservatives don't capture the state legislature, then the progressives are going to ruin the state. And you see that happening right now. No. A lot of damage being done to the state in many different ways.
So call to action. Let's get out there and do that. How does a person here in Carlsbad, New Mexico decide, yeah, I need to be doing this? How do they sign up? How do they get aboard?
Just contact us on our Facebook, Republican Party of New Mexico, on our webpage. Just call the office in Albuquerque. We have somebody that will get with you. We've got volunteers standing up across the state in different, we call them different columns. That is, their specific issue. For instance, want to start pro-life chapters in every single county. That's where Democrat, Republican, and independent conservatives will come together. If they believe in supporting the unborn, then they will gather in those groups. And so we feel like if we help that happen, now it brings more highlight to issues that are very key to us as Republicans, and that's the life issue. We'll have a Second Amendment task force. If you want to help fight the fight to protect the Second Amendment, then be a part of that task force. We have right now, Peggy Aragon is leading a statewide effort on school boards. If you're angry about the way that your schools are going, then run for school board. And we've already got 10 or 15 people who said that I can get there. I'm worried about where our schools are. I don't like what they're teaching my kids. Well, then be a member of the school board. So we have at least 10 people that are running for school board who a month ago had never even thought of running for school board. And so it's that channeling of every one of us have to participate. We can't tell you where your interest is, but we can help you. When you identify your interest, we can help you be a part of a statewide group that is going to stand up and fight for this positive change that we think is needed in New Mexico.
Steve Pierce is on the radio today. We're talking about issues around the state, but I want to go a little bit further afield. I was thinking about you last week, or earlier this week, I guess. I was listening to a BBC report on Mexican children being held in detention facilities here in the U.S., and if you believe the reportage, there is overcrowding. In many cases, there is a lot of disease, illness in these places. Are you aware of this? Do you give that any credibility?
Yes, absolutely. I believe that it's happening. A good friend of mine serves in Texas. He's a Democrat, serves on the Mexico border, and he basically has called the Biden administration out, and he took his camera in and was showing the pictures. When I was in Congress, I was able to see those same facilities myself. Now, the media made a big deal of this under Trump. They were very silent under Obama. He's the one who originally built those cages somewhere in southern New Mexico. I toured those. When you got people coming across in the thousands and the tens of thousands, you're either just going to let them go. Many of the kids come here, they got no defense mechanism, they got nobody to protect them. You got people who are more than willing to say, hey, I'm their uncle. They'll take them and put them into some sort of sexual slavery or some sort of situation that's not productive for them. So the government has to be a little bit careful there on the border with all of the people that they're encouraging to cross. So, yes, they're holding them. The estimates are sometimes they're 10 times overcrowded. If the facility is supposed to be for 600, you've got 6,000. And you are going to have disease. You're going to have mistreatment. You're going to have gangs developing in there. Those are all things that I saw before. So the media really attacked Trump, but now they're being very quiet on Biden. So he's got the same problem that Trump did. How do you handle this? How do you keep them safe? How do you keep them in some sort of circumstance? You can't put them into a jail. That's not the appropriate thing. Plus, there's not enough jail cells.
Right.
And so they built these holding facilities, and they're filling them up, and they're overcrowded and overrun.
That was Steve Pierce being interviewed by Frank Niemeyer on Carlsbad Radio. Coming up in the next segment, Steve Pierce will be interviewing Peggy Aragon from the Albuquerque Public School Board.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. Here is Steve Pierce with this week's guest.
Well, Derek, as we mentioned in the first segment, we've got a special guest today. Peggy Aragon is a friend of mine. Her husband, Robert, serves as first vice chair of the Republican Party of New Mexico. They're longtime activists in the political arena. Robert Aragon actually served as a Democrat legislator back when the Cowboy Coalition took place. That was a bunch of the conservative Democrats joined the Republicans to take control of the legislature away from the left part of the Democrat Party. But Peggy is a member of the Albuquerque School Board and just joins us today from Albuquerque. Peggy, thanks for being on the show. Tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you for having me. I feel very honored. Well, I was born and raised in New Mexico. I was born in Grants, New Mexico, and then moved. My dad worked out in the mines, and then we moved to Albuquerque. And I was raised on the west side of Albuquerque and have stayed on the west side my whole life. I attended schools here in Albuquerque and graduated with a bachelor's degree in education and a master's in education administration from UNM. And I spent my whole career teaching with the APS district. I mostly taught kindergarten. That's just my favorite. I also taught first, second, and third grade. And started teaching in 1980, retired in 2010, and then 4 years later was asked to run for the school board. I was a very reluctant candidate, but education is just part of my life, and children are just my heart. And so I ran and did take out the incumbent in 2015 with 63% of the vote. So it is possible for people who think children should come first to be able to win these elections.
Okay, that's great. So you took on an incumbent in a race. Did you have a lot of political experience, or was this your first attempt?
I had run a couple of years before for the state house in my district. So I had done that. I didn't win. The incumbent won. So that was really all I had ever done, you know, is run for the state house. So I did have, a little bit of experience. The thing I think was really helpful, Steve, was that I had taught in that area of the city. So I had taught at a couple of schools on the west side. Our children had gone to school on the west side. I had gone to school on the west side. So I knew a lot of the community, a lot of the parents, a lot of the students. And so I think that was very helpful if you're involved in your community. I think that shows that you really care about the community and they trust you. And especially when you have taught their children, they know who you are. And so I think that was very helpful.
Folks, we're visiting with Peggy Aragon. She is a member of the Albuquerque Public School Board. And we're just talking with her about this idea that Republicans should get more engaged in running for school boards. I hear a lot of anger from people about the direction that our schools are going, but I don't often see people doing what Peggy has done, literally standing up and running for the school board to affect change. So Peggy, how many Republicans are on that school board?
Well, a true Republican is me. Another one that's supposedly a Republican, but I haven't seen that, so I believe it's a Republican in name only. So when you usually see the vote and it's 6-1, that's usually me. But our school board, to be honest with you, is really controlled by the teachers' union.
So the teachers' union runs the school board and therefore the schools. How do they exercise that control over the school board?
By buying them with their money. When you look at our school board anyway, 6 of the 7 campaigns have been supported by the teachers union as well as other unions. And all you have to do is look at their campaign finance reports and you'll see who those 7 people are. You'll find mine that no union gave me a single penny. That's a way to exert control. So if they give you your money, I feel like you're bought and sold. And that's what seems to happen. If you ever have a chance and you can attend one of our meetings when we go back in person, you'll kind of see the control that the union has over many of my colleagues.
I tell people the story that when I first went to the legislature in 1997, just like you, had never participated in politics before, ran for state legislature, won that. One of the bills that I was passionate about was that the teacher should have ultimate control of the classroom. We had had a recent incident in Hobbs where a student was screaming the F word at the teacher and at the classroom. The teacher was trying to do something about it. The student picked up a chair, one of the desks, and actually hit the teacher with it. The teacher marched him down to the office to kick him out of class. The student beat the teacher back to the classroom because the administration was more interested in the dollars associated with that kid being in school than they were being provided discipline. So I had a very simple bill that it should be that the teacher should control the discipline in the classroom, that if they kicked them out, that was final. I watched as people who I thought were friends of mine in the early days of that first year of the legislature, they were Democrats who controlled the committee, and all of those supposed friends left the room so that the one teacher who was there controlled by the unions and running the show, she was able to kill my bill without the others actually having a vote on it. They weren't there, so she was able to kill my bill. And that's exactly what you're describing as occurring in the school boards. So what power do you have? Let's say that you're one out of seven. What power do you have as a school board member?
I think the power is with the people in the community. So what we found this year is we're presuming that everyone in education and all politicians care about children, right? I mean, that's a presumption that we all have. But yet this year, what we saw is they were kept from their right to an education, which they're guaranteed by the New Mexico Constitution. So they were kept out of their schools. With one vote, you are able to get the community to see where you stand. So we had so many parents that wanted their children back in school for a myriad of reasons, most important for them to get their education. And so what I was able to do is get parents together to really put pressure on the other school board members, on the superintendent, on PED, and on the governor to get the schools opened. And they were just loud. They were proud about what they were saying, and we got the schools open, which we thought wasn't going to happen this past school year. So one vote can make a big difference. Another thing that I'm very proud of, just as my one vote, is when I got on, I was looking at the policies, Steve, and one of the things I didn't see in there is that I thought when I was elected to the school board that I'm supposed to put the children first, which I think we all should. And there was no policy that was written that said, when you make decisions, they should be made in the best interest of the children. And just because nobody could go against that, even if it was just me speaking, that was voted in as well. So there are those kinds of things that you can do just with one vote. Now, the thing I don't have, if I put a motion in front of the body, I don't have somebody who would second my motion, so at least we could have a conversation about it. And so that's why it's important to at least have another person on the board that is willing to second your motion so you could have discussions. I think democracy really dies when you can't have a discussion.
Well, you're exactly right about that. And it's one way that the Democrats control the agenda is that they never open the discussions up. That's a very significant power that they have in this state.
Steve Pierce there talking with Peggy Aragon from the Albuquerque Public School Board. Coming up in our next segment, I will be talking with our congresswoman from the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico. That is Yvette Harrell. And we will be discussing our vice president's visit to El Paso on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. About 3 months ago, President Biden appointed our Vice President, Kamala Harris, to be the border czar to help solve the problems on our southern border. Last week, she finally decided to go down to El Paso to see what was going on, and I had the opportunity to speak to our representative in New Mexico for the southern border area. That's the 2nd Congressional District, Representative Yvette Harrell. Here's what she had to say.
Kind of interesting. Of course, you know, we've just been beating the drum and leading the charge as it relates to the crisis on the border.
I know you invited her to come down with you, right?
I did. I invited her to come down to come visit New Mexico border, to come down and see the Johnson Ranch, understand the reality that New Mexico lives in. And then I asked her even to take me to Guatemala and Mexico with her so that if she was serious about her job as border czar, that we could actually work in a bipartisan manner, have meaningful conversations, determine what she calls the root cause and do it together. So sadly, she did come to El Paso. She flew in and she did tour the El Paso Border Patrol Station, which is, that's the processing plant that opened under President Trump's watch. And then in her original itinerary, everything else she did was back at the international airport there, but she did then make a stop at the port of entry. But the truth is, that's more of like a dog and phony show, because really that was more of about a photo op than about really talking about what's going on at the border. Even Henry Cuellar, who is a Democrat from Texas, represents part of a Texas group, even he said she will not understand the crisis and what we're dealing with if she doesn't get to the border and understands it and sees what Governor Abbott, why he's working so hard to finish the wall, why Governor DeSantis is actually sending resources to the state of Texas and Arizona. I mean, we have a serious problem happening, and she will be oblivious to what the truth is if she doesn't actually go down there and see it.
Why wouldn't she go?
I think she knows that if she goes down there to actually to the border, to either Columbus, New Mexico, down to the Johnson Ranch, where we're seeing so much of the foot traffic in our state, especially where the gaps in the border wall are. I think she knows if she goes down there, talks to the people, property owners, communities around the border, or even goes over to the Rio Grande Valley, she knows there's a crisis. And I think she understands if she goes, she'll get questioned. She would not be able to laugh her way out of it. She would be in a position where she would absolutely have to acknowledge we have a crisis on the border. It is truly no laughing matter. When I equate it this way, Derek, I think if the president of the United States said right now he was going to eliminate all the protections we have in place to protect, let's say, our food supply or our energy supply as it relates to gasoline, like these pipelines, you know, from cyber attacks and protect our energy grids and so forth. If he said that we were going to do away with all those protections, America would go crazy. And it's just the same way to think about it as now we're allowing people into the interior of our country who have criminal backgrounds. We don't know the purpose for their reasons to come here. We know that less than 40% of the people right now are coming from the Northern Triangle countries, which is Guatemala, Mexico, Honduras, El Salvador. You know, we still are looking at people that are coming from Brazil, from Haiti, from Russia. People are coming to this country from all over the world. And now, because this administration has decided not to keep any of the Trump policies in play, we've literally just opened our doors to everybody who wants to come here.
You have made a request to President Biden to keep Title 42 in place. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, Title 42, the PAWS Act, basically. This would stop the massive influx of illegal immigration at the southern border, and it also provides, you know, kind of a common sense solution. And I know there's not much common sense here, but it would really create a common sense solution to managing the COVID-19 pandemic. And what happens with Title 42, President Trump, he activated this health order, is what it was, called Title 42, and it gave our Border Patrol agents the ability to expel anyone coming here illegally from Mexico or Canada, gave them the ability to do a quick process at the border, and then expel those individuals out of the nation. And we did that because we were facing COVID-19 pandemic standards and measures right then. And we still are. Though we are opening up, we are still not 100% open. We still have a risk level for travel from Canada and Mexico. And we need to see that reduced to a level 1. Right now, it's still up in the level 4 area. But why would we have our nation locked down for a year, see over 200,000 companies nationwide close their doors permanently because of the pandemic as a result of that, and then turn around and think it's somehow okay to open the border? We're not doing any COVID testing. We don't know if these people have or have been exposed to COVID-19 or any other infectious disease or now some other strain of COVID-19. It just didn't make sense. And this was a very important tool for the Border Patrol. And I keep saying was, Derek, because President Biden, they haven't eliminated Title 42, though they are talking about doing so. They talked about it this week, but they've allowed it to be used in a much less meaningful way. So it's kind of a, when they feel like they need it, they're not using it on the kids. They're not using it on some of the unaccompanied minors and some of the family units. So it's kind of a pick and choose. That is still, though, the one element, the one policy from the Trump administration that is keeping the border safe. The sad truth is we have seen record number of people coming here illegally, and it's not just the people. We have a way for you to come into our country legally, and I think this is a complete disincentive for those who wanted to sit in line and wait in line and do it the correct way. I mean, I know people in the district that waited years to come into our nation and receive their legal status, and now we're incentivizing people to come here, and we have no way of disincentivizing people to come because the border is very porous, but we're seeing a huge influx in fentanyl, methamphetamines. This is no longer a problem that belongs to the border states or the border communities. This is seriously coming to a town near you because the interior of the nation has seen an uptick in criminal behavior, apprehensions, encounters, illicit drugs. We know that next year there's a very good chance that schoolrooms will be packed with children who do not speak English. It'll be a real hamper on the learning capability. You know, it'll put a curve on that learning capability for our kids. And here's what's sad. People say, well, I bet you don't care about kids and people. Yes. Yes, I do. I am very compelled to ensure that people are being cared for. But what is good about the death toll rising from those coming across these arid and dangerous nations to get here when they shouldn't be coming here illegally? We've seen over, 6 to 8 people on our border die in the last 30 days. They've seen a number of deaths over in California, and it's because of the heat. But what good does it do to bring children here, house them in a facility for a month, and then we have no way of ensuring who is getting those children once they leave the HHS facility. Could be an illegal, could be a sex offender, could be a legitimate sponsor, but there's no way to know, and we're just turning around 4,500 kids a month out of the facility in Fort Bliss, and that's just one place. That doesn't include all the other facilities that are all over the nation.
Congresswoman Yvette Harrell talking about the border there. If you would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that by going to the website at www.gopnm.org. There's a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you'd like to talk to someone, call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We'll look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.